right. Turn with me in your Bibles. Again, we'll be reading two portions. We'll be reading in Judges chapter 16. And then also Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. So we're going through this series in Cloud of Witnesses, and these are people, witnesses of God's faithfulness, and so they as witnesses themselves are people of faith, but really the focus is on God. It's not what people have done for God, it's what God has done for us. That's the important thing. And I just mentioned that in the Sunday school this morning, that when I got saved, that just, boom, it just like, I saw the light in that sense. It's not what I can do for God, but it's what God has done for me. And that, when you trust in Christ, when you repent toward God and have faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, you pass from death into life. You know, when you were born, we're born dead in our trespasses and sins. We inherited that from Adam. And so all children, you know, there's been lots of experiments through the years, like ages. Well, if we could just have a child brought up in perfect circumstances, and they'll be perfect. There'll be no sin. I was in a church. I was a member of a church where the pastor said, we brought our children, they moved from southern Alberta to northern Alberta to raise our children up in the sticks here where there is no sin. That's a pastor who's saying that. Okay. Needless to say, most if not all his children and grandchildren are lost. They're not, have no interest in things of God. How could that happen? Well, because it's not our environment that dictates where we go. It's our own choices. Jesus Christ said, it's from within, out of the hearts of men, proceed all these evil thoughts. And evil thoughts lead to evil actions. But it's the evil in our heart that demonstrates whether we are the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But God can give us a heart transplant, and we can have a heart for God, a heart toward God. And so what we see here is an example. Now, okay, having said all that, well, I'm so much better than so-and-so, and they're going to heaven, so, well, no, don't count on that. Samson, we're going to be talking again about Samson, and he did some really bad things. We know other people that did some really bad things. In fact, it's a prophecy of Nathan the prophet that what David did with Bathsheba, like his adultery and murdering of Bathsheba's wife, Urijah.
Husband.
Oh, thanks. Bathsheba's husband, thank you, Uriah, then Nathan said, what you have done will cause people to blaspheme God. And to this very day, I mean, just many of you might recognize that Leonard Cohen Hallelujah song that I've even heard churches having it in their church, and they change the words a little bit. But that whole tune, the whole point of that song is mockery against God. Mocking God, hallelujah, hallelujah. And mocking God because of David's sin. But David's in heaven right now. No matter how much you might say, well, look at so-and-so, they're going to heaven, they're worse than I am, so you got to accept me into your heaven. That will not get you to heaven, because it's not, they're not in heaven because of their works or their bad works. They're in heaven because they trusted in Christ for the payment for their sin, the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. That's the payment for sin. And it's free. It's just free for the taking. But pride is the thing that keeps us from accepting. Well, that's too easy. It is very easy. It's the only thing that we can do. Because we're already sprung. I think of auto body. And, well, that automobile looks really good. No, but this frame is sprung. Okay? It's, you know, it's a write-off. But it looks so good. No, we're already sprung. We need to be melted down and made anew. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so you can be justified. So anyway, we're talking about Samson again. And so if what we'll do is we'll read Hebrews 11:32, and then we'll flip over to Judges 16 and verse 15. And so let's, if you're able to, please stand with me as we read God's word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak. So we've talked about both of those, Gideon and Barak. And of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. And then back over to Judges chapter 16, verse 15. And talking about Delilah, and she said unto him, unto Samson, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I will become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. And so we'll continue with reading God's word. Let's just bow for a word of prayer before we are seated. Dear God, we just thank thee for thy word. And this tragic case of a man who we find out was a man of faith, but failed in so many ways, and is a lesson to us of how we need to not only be justified, saved, but it's thy desire that we be sanctified. That means that we desire and battle to do right and live holy in our lives. We just thank thee for thy holiness and thy example in the scriptures of positive things. Help us to follow in that way. We continue to pray for a pastor, Lord. We know we need a pastor, and we just desire that, and thou knowest that. We pray for that, and we pray that thou would bless each one here today that would receive something from thy word. I pray that thou would direct my thoughts and words, that they would be pleasing to thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, please be seated. Yes, tragedy. Tragic story about Samson. And last time we left off with Samson being deceived. Or how can I say it? Willingly deceived. by that woman of Timnah, not Delilah, but a woman that it seems that he was wanting to legitimately marry. And his father and mother opposed that. They said, why? Why would you go and marry someone who is not of our people? And that would be according to, I guess, let me think here. It's Deuteronomy. I think it's chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 3, Deuteronomy 7, verse 3, God told the children of Israel, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. That's the people in the land of Canaan. When they go in to the land of Canaan, don't marry with those folk. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his sons, nor his daughters shalt thou take unto thy son. And now, what was the point of God leading Israel into the land of Canaan? God was bringing judgment to the Canaanites. Not because God wanted to give free land to Israel. He was bringing judgment, and he was using his own people that he had created from nothing. Sarah was past the age of giving birth, and it was a miracle child, Isaac was. And so the whole promise was given to the son of promise, to Isaac and his descendants. And so Isaac and Jacob. And the whole point of God bringing them out of, delivering them out of Egypt and bringing them into Canaan was to bring judgment against the people in Canaan. And so, carrying on there in Deuteronomy 7, verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the people, for ye were the fewest of all people. And then carries on in chapter 9 of Deuteronomy, where it says to the children of Israel, speak not in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out, talking about the people in Canaan, cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Israel is an illustration to me in my life how, number one, I need to be delivered from the bondage of sin, and that's salvation, typically, of how Israel was delivered from Egypt in the Passover. And the Passover lamb being an illustration of Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross, who shed his blood as a perfect payment for sin. The people that had the blood on the doorpost and on the lintels, there's nothing that they did to keep the death angel from killing their firstborn child. It was the blood. And so too, how can I emphasize it any better? It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us eternal life. Nothing that you can work for. Nothing that is part of your righteousness. But when you do get saved, you pass from death into life, then the battle begins. And so too it was for Israel. When they went into Canaan land, there were battles to fight, not only with themselves personally, fighting against sin, but as a nation. God led the way. He is the one that took down the walls of Jericho, but he required them to go in and kill all the people. He's the one that gave them victory over, in many other cases, where the death angel would come and slay the whole army. Or in another, well, with Gideon. Remember Gideon when he had 32,000 soldiers? And God says, that's too many, because you will think that you did, you won the war. So they were up against, what, 125,000? Can't remember. And 32,000 was too many. And then it went down to 10,000. That was still too many. Went down to 300. And so who won the war for them? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. But it was God that won the war, because it was God that went before them. And all the enemy went in the darkness. They thought that all these 300 that had lamps glowing, they weren't fighting. So all these others that are fighting must be the enemy. So they went and they destroyed one another. And then, so we learned that about Gideon. And then Barak, who won the battle there? Sisera came with 900 iron chariots. It was a big rainstorm that the mountains melted, the landslides, and the chariots got stuck in the mud. And Sisera was running away on foot. And then it was that woman, right? That woman that was hiding in her tent. And when he slept there, because he was weary from the battle. And what? She killed him with a tent peg through his head, right into the ground. Who won the battle there? God did. And credit was given to a woman, because Barak said, I won't go unless you go with me. He was talking to Deborah, the prophetess Deborah. I'm not going to go unless you go with me. So God says, okay, the honor for this battle is going to go to a woman, which to this day it was given to that woman. All right. So now we find here that, remember last time, Samson went to his wedding feast. He was going to his wedding feast. He was going to legitimately marry this woman, because already his father went down with him. And so, you know, it was disobeying his parents, but they said, okay, we'll be part of this wedding feast. And so going down to the wedding feast, now he had killed that lion. Remember, he killed that lion, and he wasn't, as a Nazirite, he wasn't supposed to touch dead things, dead animals. But he touched that lion that he had killed, and he went and he got honey out of that, because the bees had made honey out of that carcass later on. And so he went and got that honey out, and he never told his parents about that. And when he went to these people that came to the men that came to this wedding, this feast that they had before the wedding ceremony. Remember in chapter 14, he had a riddle for them. He said, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And he said, if you can, to these 30 men of the Philistines, he said to these 30 men, he said, if you can tell me the answer to this riddle, then I'll give each one of you a sheet and a change of clothing. And but if you can't, then you, each one of you, owe me a sheet and a change of clothing. So those men, they went to what it says in the Bible, his wife, but that was his fiance, because the wedding hadn't been consummated yet. But went to his fiance and said, Tell us the riddle, or we're going to burn you and your father's house. Like, we're going to burn you and your father's house with fire. So she was begging Samson for the answer. Like, you know, and he says, well, I haven't told my parents even. I haven't even told my parents. Why would I tell you? Oh, well, you don't love me. And so he went and told her. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, they gave the answer. Remember what the answer was? What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And Samson said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And verse 19 in chapter 14 of Judges, The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them that had expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companions, whom he had used as his friend. Chapter 15, verse 1. And it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And that was his fiance, that because he hadn't finished the wedding there. So he came there now to his fiance, and he said, I will go down to my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. Do any of you remember what that displeasure is that he did to them? He went and caught 300 foxes. What did he do with those foxes? He tied them tail to tail and put a firebrand between the two of them and sent them throughout all the harvest, the corn stalks of the Philistines. What a mess. What a fire. And because he did that, the Philistines went in and in verse 6, the Philistines said, Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came down and burnt her and her father with fire. Now, all of this sounds very gruesome, and it is. But God had known that Samson was going to be disobeying his law. And so too it is with us as a church. We're not perfect. How can God use us? God is going to do his will regardless of our obedience. He desires our obedience. But if we're not obedient, like, is he like stifled then? Like, oh man, what am I going to do? No. He's giving us an opportunity to participate in what he's doing.
Amen.
And that's where the blessing is. How much better it would have been for David. Like, David was kept from building the temple because he had blood on his hands. And yet he was saved. Lot, look at Lot. Remember Lot? He was a saved man. Yet he sure didn't look like it, the kind of life he was living in Sodom. And yet God spared him. The scripture tells us that he was just Lot. And yet he vexed his soul night and day over the wickedness of Sodom. Your life can be so much better if you follow, as a believer, if you've trusted Christ for salvation. How much better it can be is if you follow, regardless of the hardships, you know, like the hardships that Abraham went through. He had things going better for him than Lot did, even though he had more hardships. In chapter 14, verse 4, his father and his mother knew not. So when he disobeyed his parents going with that woman of Timnah, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And so, yes, God used Samson, even though Samson was disobeying God in many ways. He went to have, disobeyed Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7, in taking a woman of the Philistines to be his wife. But God used him to destroy some Philistines. That was the purpose of God, to destroy these Philistines. And then now, the children of Israel, you know how we've talked before that they're going through that cycle of rebellion and then ruin and then repentance? Well, the children of Israel here, even though they were under the thumb of the Philistines, look what they did. They verse 9, then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are ye come against us? And they said to, now when I say Judah, that's the southern tribe of Israel. And why are thou come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to Samson, and they said, look, we want to have peace with Philistines. We're going to bind you and we're going to give you to the Philistines. He said, well, okay, I'll let you bind me, but don't kill me. And so they said, yeah, okay. So they delivered him to the Philistines, and look what happened in verse 14. When he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. So, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and he put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with a jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, and with a jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. So he killed another 1,000 Philistines. And of course that was in line with what God had intended, but not in a way like Samson was still. Look what he did in chapter 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. So when he was with that woman in Timnath, even though it was displeasing to his parents, they were going along with the wedding, but he gave in to her and told the riddle, and he recognized that she had betrayed him. He got upset, he left, but then he was willing to come back to her, which is a good sign. But her father had given her away to Samson's companion. So Samson got upset. He did that thing with the 300 foxes. He did that thing with the jawbone of an ass by killing 1,000 Philistines. And then in chapter 16, he did this terrible thing. He went in to a harlot. So he went from bad to worse, disobeying his parents and God in this choice of a wife, and then to go into a harlot. And in that case, he went into that harlot. They thought, oh, well, we'll lay hold of him and kill him. In verse 3, it says, Samson lay till midnight and rose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. God gave him supernatural strength, strength that no man has ever had. Remember, God gave Samson wisdom that no man has ever had. And did Solomon honor God with that extraordinary wisdom that he was given? He didn't. He was drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So here Samson is going from bad to worse. And we read now in our reading of how he now, verse 4, chapter 16, verse 4, this is where it starts, that it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth. So here's this woman that he is now living with. And so going from bad to worse to worse. And here, hadn't he learned the lesson the first time with a woman from Timnath? Here she agrees to deceive Samson and betray him. And so we read that, how that she did find out in the end, oh, you don't love me. If you love me, you would tell me where your great strength is. And several times she had done what he told him that was not true. Surely he could have seen that. But like I mentioned last time, when you go hunting and you go you go tromping through the bush, and those moose are crazy for that, for those cows. And so too, men are stupid. Men and women can be really stupid when they're drawn away by their own lust. And so, such a strong man. A woman took him down by her wooing to him. And there he was, grinding in the... So they cut his hair off. And verse 23, and the lords of the Philistines gathered. Verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. So he, sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And so we find that Samson, he was bound. They took out his eyes. Sin binds us. Sin blinds us. And then sin grinds away at us. And there he was, grinding in the prison house, a blind man, and yet his hair began to grow. In verse 23, then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. They were focused on man. But it wasn't Samson that had been destroying all along. It wasn't Samson that had... could conjure up, could do exercises to have his great strength. It was the Spirit of the Lord. Mentioned four times in this context. Chapter 13, verse 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him in the times in the camp of Dan between Zoar and Eshtaol. Chapter 14, verses 6 and 19. Six, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent the lion, and he tore the lion apart as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And then verse 19, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which had expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. And then chapter 15, verse 14, and when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. In your life, as you struggle against, you battle against sin in your life, It's God that gives you the victory in your life. Don't be arrogant to think that, oh, look how good I am. If there's any righteousness that comes from us, it's God. And many times, even for the lost people, God keeps them from sin that just keeps them blind and just really protects a lot of people from sinning as hard as they would like to sin. Because God is a very loving God. God loves you. God cares for you. He made you. He created you for a purpose, and that was to bring glory to Him. And that is why He sent His only begotten Son, the only self-generated. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Remember, Emmanuel means, what does Emmanuel mean? God with us, yes. And Emmanuel means God with us. And so He sent His only begotten Son, and that's how God is interfaced with time and space, is by Jesus Christ, virgin-born Son of God, Son of Man. He came for the purpose of willingly giving His own life to pay for our sin. And yes, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners by birth, inherited it. We inherit our sin. And that's why the child, when they're born, even before they can speak, show a rebellious streak. And so too, you don't teach them to lie. Well, some people do, but don't do that. And they can do it well on their own. You don't have to teach them to steal, take things that are owned. Unfortunately, some parents do. Some parents are examples of what having Satan as your father. But don't teach your children to steal. They can know that. They can do that. Learn. They know that from their own heart how to do that. You need to teach them to do right. But all the right that they might do can never save them. They need to be forgiven and washed by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He poured out His blood. What would be the point of Him dying for our sins if it wasn't the requirement? Why would He have to go through all that agony on our behalf? And yet He didn't just die. He rose from the grave. He lives forever. He's our ever-living Savior. And you can let Him in. The Bible says the gospel is having repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Whoever comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And how true that is. Anybody in the world, there's so many examples in the world of people who had no access to the gospel. In fact, look at the big portion of the world that children grow up and the parents say, if you ever become a Christian, we are obliged to kill you. That's the Muslim law. And so those children have no access to the scriptures. And yet many in Islam have cried out to God. And God is, in fact, I'm just blessed this week. One of my coworkers, a Muslim man, just requested more information. And his son is in university and asking about the gospel. And so having opportunity. Now, there's so much involved there. It's a very dangerous thing for these folks because many of them have been sent here with an assignment, and they know the cost of trusting Christ for salvation. And yet, what can be in this life worth more than eternal life with God? So too, many in the world are trusting in Christ. God is faithful. That's that second part, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Whoever comes to God must believe that He is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what people do around the world that don't have the gospel. They can see God through the general revelation of his creation. They cry out to God, believing that, God, if you are there, let me know. And God does. He's faithful to people everywhere in the world. He has been throughout history. And so don't be like Samson in your Christian walk. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And so the verse for the week in James 1:14-15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so Samson, God did honor his last prayer, and yet it brought death to Samson in the body, but thank God he was saved, his soul was saved, as we understand it from Hebrews chapter 11. It's what God was able to do through him. And Samson called unto God, unto the Lord, and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and the other of his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein, so that the dead which he slew in his death were more than they which slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his fathers came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zoar and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. And so Israel was finding deliverance from their oppressors through Samson, one of the judges, one of these 14 judges. And so we can find not only salvation for eternal life, but we can find sanctification as a Christian, as we're walking in Christ. And so let's just be sober and vigilant, understanding that Satan walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he can't do it unless we give him a foothold by giving in to our lust. Let's just bow forward a prayer. Dear God, we thank thee for this illustration of Samson. We recognize that any good that we can do in our life only comes from thee. And we also recognize that as a child of God, we can be tempted to do things that thou might call us home for it, because we are of no earthly good. Dear God, may it be that we would be so heavenly minded that we would be of much earthly good. Dear God, we thank thee for thy goodness to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.